Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom on Blog Talk Radio. We're doing the show this morning on temples and churches. We have an article coming out on News with Views on that subject. We've talked about that subject before. We mentioned it in Chapter 9 of the book Thy Kingdom Comes, which is available on the Living Network, which is available at hisholychurch.org. If you join the network, someone will help you find where that is on the website. It is a very important topic because, at least for people who believe that they are Christians, because they like to go to church. And they need to know what the church is, because there are temples and churches. And when I use the word temples, I'm using it in the sense of the ancient pagan temples. So, what are the temples and churches? It is really a surprising concept to see how far we've gone away from what the early church was doing when we examine the temples of ancient Rome and Greece and what they were actually doing. I've often asked that question. Way back when I was in the seminary, decades and decades and decades and decades ago, and I could never get a good answer. And I'm talking to well-learned men who have been to universities and who are now professors at a university in Southern California or Central California. Nobody really can answer that question adequately, at least adequately for me. I mean, when people answer questions, a lot of times we just go, we receive their answer and we say, that's an answer. But does it make sense? Does it fit together? These people were living hard lives. There was a great deal of luxury, but most people had to work every day. Now, in the better part of the Roman economy, a better period of time when the Roman economy wasn't faltering under a lot of foolish activities of the government and the people, you could work probably half the year and do fairly well. You could actually take half the year off. Now, there were others that had to work year-round, but they didn't necessarily have to work all that hard. I mean, the reason why is they lived fairly simple lives. Right today, Muslim countries and third world countries in Africa, and a lot of the people are spending 80% of the money that they earn every year on food. It's because they're living in huts and in fairly simple structures, and they don't have 3 bathrooms, 4 TVs, 2 cars. They live a much simpler life, and at times that's very hard on them. Weather conditions, health conditions, disasters in the family, somebody gets injured. It's devastating when 80% of what you earn goes to food. If your wages drop 10-20%, or the value of your wages drop 10-20%, you're in a world of hurt. Where do you go? Where do you get assistance? Well, sometimes neighbors will help you out. Sometimes churches will help you out. Sometimes the government will help you out. The freer a nation, the less they look towards their government. The more you look towards government, the more you will suffer tyranny. That was a common understood principle in early America. I hear a lot of people talking about, well, we have to do what early Americans do. Actually, I had some notes on that. Maybe we should cover some of that. I heard somebody speaking on the radio just recently, and they referred to us as the masters and the government as the servants. Well, that sounds real good. That may be true. It may not be true. And from my point of view, it actually is very much untrue. We have been completely deceived over the years as to what's really going on in government. Thing is that we really haven't elected public servants in this country for almost 100 years. What we elect is lawmakers. These men aren't just leaders, they're rulers. They exercise authority over you. You don't live in a republic. It's an absolute illusion or delusion or whatever you want to call it if you think you do. You simply do not live in a republic anymore. You live in a democracy within a republic. You have gone a long ways away from what those early Americans were doing. And yet some people believe that they can simply go back and write their own personal Declaration of Independence and not do what the early Americans were doing. What were they doing that allowed them the privilege, the right, to go and write this Declaration of Independence? What was different back then that is not the case today? We do things much different. In those days, the entire social welfare of the people was done not by the government. It was done by the people. It was the people who took care of one another in systems of faith, hope, and charity. And that's something we don't do in this country anymore. Our churches don't do it. Early church did it entirely. As a matter of fact, they said that's what pure religion was to take care of your needy. If you read in James, pure religion was to do this unspotted by the world. And the word world there in that one verse meant constitutional order or system of government. They did not use a government of authority to provide for their welfare. They provided it for themselves. And that quote I was telling you about, it's Augustus Caesar was sensible that mankind is governed by names, nor was he deceived in his expectation that the Senate and people would submit to slavery, provided they were respectfully assured that they still enjoyed their ancient freedom. In other words, he wanted you to think you still enjoyed your ancient freedoms. Then you would submit to slavery. So it's very important that Caesar, whoever is going to be Caesar, control your thinking. Use the same words. Refer to himself as a republic. And then you will go, oh, yeah, we're a republic. Refer to the ancient forefathers who fought and died to find a place of freedom in this land. And they didn't just fight the British. They fought the elements. They fought hardship and dealt with that hardship. Thousands died in order that you might be free. But you didn't retain your rights. You prayed at the altars of other men and gods, not at the altar of the God. Now, that's why we're going to be talking about these temples and churches. How can I say such a thing? You go to church, right? You pray at your church, right? You worship Jesus Christ, right? Do you? Are you doing what the first century church was doing when they worshiped? Or are you doing what the Pharisees were doing when they worshiped? Because what they were doing was making the word of God to none effect. Tacitus repeatedly contrasts the res publica, which we call republic, under the emperors with the pre-Augustus Liberares Publica. And in Germania 37, which is something he wrote, encountering the disasters which Germans inflicted upon the Res Publica Romanorum, he distinguished between the old Res Publica, which he calls the Populus Romanus, and the new Res Publica, which he calls Caesar. The old Res Publica hardly had the mixed constitution which dreamers assigned it, and which actually never can exist, but it was something greater and majestic, which lives on as a glorious memory in a mean age. Those words should be spoken today. They should be taught in free schools everywhere so that people understand what took place when the people began to elect an emperor. Because that's what they did. They elected an emperor. And most people don't realize that, but the emperors were elected by an electoral college. It was basically an emperor was the commander-in-chief of the military. In those days, the military was the army and the navy. They had not yet learned to bring fire down from the heavens in the sight of the Lord because they hadn't invented an air force yet. Today, our commanders-in-chief, different from the Roman beast, the modern Roman beast, has the power to make fire come down from the heavens in the sight of men. And that is exactly the difference between the beast and the image of the beast in prophecy back in Revelation. That's just a little peek. I'm not going to give you all that right now. But the point is that the present-day United States, and most of the countries throughout the world who are all bound together in this kind of United Nations front of nations, which is actually talked about in the Bible too, when there'll be signs in the sun. And this thing about nations, they say, if you look up the word there in that quote that describes the nations, it actually means a contracting of nations, a gathering together of nations. And that's exactly what's taken place in our time. And if you've watched the things that are happening on the sun, you'll find lots of interesting things. And that's Christ who said that. Look for signs in the sun. We just were hit by a CME, a coronal mass ejection from the sun, the planet was. It was a minor one. Actually, it was what they call an X-class flare. They've invented in the last few years, they invented a new class, which is a mega flare, that is even more powerful than an X-class flare. They used to think X-class flares was as big as they get. But they find out now there are some really big flares that come off the sun, go hurtling through space at anywhere between 400 and 2,000 kilometers per second, speeding up after they explode off from the sun, head towards planets more often than not. And this is the year over the last 22 years that we are most likely to get hit by these CMEs this year and the next year. And if we got hit by a mega flare, which is usually followed by several smaller CMEs, it would knock out all power on the sunlit side of the Earth. No power. Maybe for 6 months, maybe for a year in some places. Because it fuses generators. It fuses the copper, just melts them down when we get hit by these things, especially high-altitude generators. It can knock out all electronic devices. It can knock out satellites. It is like the EMP you hear about that we can create with these nuclear explosions, except for this is from the sun. And the sun gives these off, and the sun's doing weird things. And men are watching it. Men in our network are watching it every day, almost every minute. They have monitors keeping an eye on the sun. And we will share with you what we discover. But you have to be on the Living Network because this radio show is only once a week. So, and the Living Network is every day. And the idea of the Living Network is very much what the early church was doing. The church was gathered in tens, hundreds, and thousands. Most people don't know that. But if you study history, you read the book Thy Kingdom Comes, you'll see that all over Europe, they followed that pattern. It was because it was a commonly known pattern of government, of self-government. It was grassroots. 10 families got together, picked a minister. They picked him because of his honor, because of his integrity, because of his willing to serve. You elected by your weekly contributions or monthly contributions that you chose to give because the power remained with you to pick the public minister. And we call them ministers of the church. So many people today say, oh, we don't need ministers anymore. We're all ministers of Christ. And then they go to the ministers who exercise authority one over the other. If they want their daily bread, if they want their welfare, their unemployment check, this is the temples of the pagans when you do that. The reason you don't need Christ's ministers is because you've got the ministers of Baal, the Nicolaitans. That's the ministers you have chosen for yourselves. And you have made contracts with them where you don't get to decide how much you're going to give your minister. You have to pay your minister. You have to give to your minister because you've made a covenant with him. You've made an agreement with him. You signed an application. We will guarantee that we will pay you whatever you say, because they have the power to say how much you will contribute. You do not pay to them according to their service. You pay to them according to their demand. You have gone to the wrong churches. Your churches are down there in Washington, D.C., and in the capitals of your individual states. That's your churches. You don't realize that because your ministers are lying to you. They're lying to you sometimes because they were lied to. But there was a concerted effort by theologians working for their own interests to keep the knowledge of what those churches were. The Temple of Ephesus was a world bank, had the largest vault in all the Mediterranean. It was built by over 127 different countries. It wasn't so that they could, you know, make a B movie there about somebody jumping around worshiping some idol. They were investing in their temples. We don't understand how their temples worked. The Temple of Saturn is where you registered your birth certificate. Why? Because with your birth certificate, you could tell when you were old enough to receive what benefits, and when you were old enough that you had to start paying in to the treasuries that would supply those benefits. And they had scribes to keep track of what you earned. And if you didn't pay in, you could be arrested and dragged into court. You had made a city where you were the flesh, which say it is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. But I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. It's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel's full of prophecies about our time. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. You have made these contracts because you have applied for benefits, your daily bread. You prayed for your daily bread from the benefactors who exercise authority. What was going wrong with the temple in Jerusalem that Jesus held it in such contempt that when they said, look at this fantastic thing that we've built, he said, I will tear this temple down in 3 days. And he was talking about himself. I would raise it back up again in 3 days. Because we are the temple. The temple, the church. Recently, in one area of the country, we had a pastorage that they took in and said, we wanted this off the tax rolls. And they said, well, we don't see evidence of, you know, a facility in accordance with this statute number. And I looked in the statute number, and the statute number didn't require a facility. We don't have facilities. We don't build buildings and say that's a church, because that's not what a church was. You're the stones. You're the clay altars of our church. You are the church. It's people. The definition of a church is a community, a society established by Jesus Christ. It's the people that make it a church, not the building. And the pastorage is just where the minister lives. And so we will be dealing with that. And if you were to join the network, you could help us deal with that. And we could deal with those same kind of problems of misunderstanding. The churches, the temple had become civilly controlled. If you did not contribute your fair share in the temple of the Pharisees because you had signed up for a social welfare system called Corban, established by Herod, you could be arrested, you could be fined, you could be dragged into the courts, you could be abused by the civil magistrates because their contributions had become civil. Most all the temples of Rome, I say almost all, basically it was all, the temples of Rome had done the same thing. They didn't used to be that way in the old res libera res publica, which means free from things public. But in the new res publica, the Caesars, the emperors that were under a commander-in-chief who could exercise authority one over the other and say, you must give this amount. You must give that amount. And those systems, that was pagans. Because their Corban, and the Romans had Corban as well, they call it Q-U-R-B-A-N. Sometimes Q-O-R-B-A-N, but Q-U is adequate. Which was your sacrifice on the altars. You know, the Temple of Ephesus looked like the U.S. Treasury. They're almost identical looking buildings. Because that's what it is. It's the temple that you pray at for your benefits. And it's bankrupt. Just like Ephesus became bankrupt. Just like the church was said, oh, you guys are robbing the temple at Ephesus. How could they be robbing the temple? It had the largest, most secure vault in all the Mediterranean because it was the World Bank of its day. It was the underwriter for most of the Corban systems throughout the Roman Empire. And it received a share in order to underwrite those. You know, a local Corban system might go bankrupt if it was abused. If thieves and robbers broke in and stole from it, Jesus warns against having those central treasuries where thieves and robbers could steal from. At the time of Jesus Christ, under Pontius Pilate, the people rioted because Pontius Pilate took money from their social security system and used it for a government project. And they actually rioted in the streets because they considered that the Sanhedrin was robbing their social security system. But that social security system was set up by Herod. Before that, it was actually kind of already starting to be brought in under the Hasmoneans, although mostly property tax came in under them. But under Herod, this social welfare scheme, which supplied the money to build this golden temple, was created through baptism. You went and got the baptism of Herod, and the scribes signed you up, and you had to pay in, but you also were guaranteed entitlements to protect you in case you were blind or you fell on hard times. But Christ said that kind of system makes the word of God no effect because it's not the perfect law of liberty. It's not people living by faith, hope, and charity. It's people living by force, fear, and violence, by the sword. They compel their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. And someone the other day says, oh, it's just the threat. No, it's not just the threat, because if you stop paying on those altars, they will knock on your door with a battering ram and come in and arrest you and throw you in jail and take everything you have. And robbing widows and orphans, they do it every day. It's called inheritance tax. That's an abomination to the Lord. But you Christians out there, you modern Christians, not you Christian Christians, not you followers of Christ, but you modern Christians who have forgotten what Christ was all about, you do rob widows and orphans, that you will have plenty of money in your treasuries to take care of your social welfare. The problem It's gone. It isn't there anymore. You may still be getting a check, but look around you. Look what's happening in Wisconsin. Look what's happening in New Jersey and in these other states. You're going to see more and more of that all summer long. They're defaulting. They're broke. They're out of money. In your United States Treasury, they are bankrupt. You're no longer beneficiaries. You are in debt. You owe. You have drinking wine of unripe grapes, sour grapes, and turned your teeth on edge. Because you went whoring after the ways of the heathens. You wanted to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That's the elements of the world. That's what these temples were. And you did this on your watch and your parents' watch. So don't tell me you have a right to a declaration of independence. From what? From your debt? You got to pay. You're in the bondage of Egypt. Don't tell me that they're the servants and you're the masters. You've made your neighbor servant to you. And you have made them master to you. They have served you deceitful meats, and you have eaten heartily. Who has not gone to public school? Well, I actually went to private school, but almost everybody in this country went to public school. That's a benefit. Who paid for that? Did you pay for that? Did your parents pay for that? Your neighbor paid for that. I had six kids. That would have been $36,000 a year I would have had to pay in order to pay for that education. Maybe more. I think it was over $6,000 per student. But they were home taught. We did not take that money. We did not take that benefit. We did not eat at that table. Paul was very clear. Paul, New Testament, very clear in talking about. And David said, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. And he's just quoting from Psalm 69:22, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. You're trapped. You can't, you're in debt bondage. You can't write a declaration of independence. Now you could. But you got to go somewhere else, and you can't take your stuff with you. Christ, Moses, Abraham, they had a plan where you can take your stuff with you, but you cannot be covetous of it. You have to be full of charity. You have to share with one another. You have to learn to love one another, or you will not be free. That is it. That is all she wrote. And you have to realize that. And we're going to be on First Amendment. We're going to have a tour over 30 states. We'll tell you how to do this, how to follow the ways of righteousness. But it's up to you to do it and to make this trip possible in your area. Get on the Living Network. Till then, may peace be upon your house.
Have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.